Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. We at Patriot Radio believe very firmly that the solution to everything we are facing today is Jesus Christ. And as we talk about what is happening around the world, the solution will continue to be Jesus Christ. Some folks say, well, that's just too simplistic. Well, actually, it's the true answer. And we cannot do anything outside and apart from Christ in what we are facing ahead. However, Jesus does want to partner with us, as the scripture says, labor with us, as the scripture says, in these times. We're not alone. He wants to sow courage in us and watch that courage as we step forward. He wants to birth new things in this time. And there's so much out there right now that is up for grabs. So much influence that is up for grabs and so much entrepreneurship that is up for grabs. I don't want to shop at Walmart or Amazon. Most of you don't either. So why not have Christians out there as their ministry creating businesses to replace those that are seeking to destroy this country and to destroy Christendom? Why not? Andrew Torba, who runs Gab, has been very outspoken about these things, and he's absolutely right. Why not? We should have Christian businessmen. That's their calling. It's their ministry. We should have people in politics. It's their calling, their ministry. We should have people in the healthcare system. It's their calling. It's their ministry. We should have people in media. It's their calling. It's their ministry in every single area of our lives. And maybe you thought that, well, God forgot about you. He didn't call you. You can't hear his call. Ask him. It's so important that we're going where God calls us to go, that we don't sit back and just wait and watch things happen. We are not called to accept the world. We are called with Christ in us and Holy Spirit moving through us to change the world. We're not called to accept evil. We're called to fight evil. We're called to stop evil. And we're called first to war in the heavenly realms, in prayer, in declaring against the enemy and the enemy's plans. A lot of people, I don't think, take it as seriously as it really is. And we may have to someday defend our homes against violent Marxists like Antifa and Black Lives Matter. We may have to one day defend our homes against violent jihadists like the Muslim Brotherhood. But are we doing the spiritual warfare right now? Are we doing it right now for the sake of the kingdom of God and the sake of the republic? Jesus said that the kingdom of God is inside us, and that word entos also means in the midst of. And so wherever we go, he's there. His kingdom is there. Are we acting like sons and daughters in a kingdom? And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, we have been actually waiting for this. We've been looking for this for over 3 years to happen. This was a very important marker, signpost on the road of where we're at. And that was the activation of the Muslim Brotherhood inside the United States for violent action. That appears to have happened over the weekend. Al-Qaeda calls on Muslims to attack Israel and Jewish embassies, assets, and civilians. That's only part of it. There also are calls for Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated organizations in the United States to begin violently protesting. Now, they're saying, oh, they're protesting and then windows get broken. Well, that's not super violent. They're calling for the activation of these Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated organizations in the United States to go active. That appears to have happened over this last weekend. We're seeing what is happening in Israel right now. And that last thing came to us from Jihad Watch. We're seeing what's happening in Israel right now. Coming to us from Debka File, the two belligerents in this distinctive conflict seem to be preparing for the long haul. Is it a war? Not in the conventional sense. More than 1,000 Palestinian rockets were fired in 39 hours, and at least 6 Israelis and 43 Palestinians were killed since Monday. Parts of Gaza are now leveled, specifically targeting the homes and hideouts of Hamas and Islamic Jihad officers. And again, Hamas, affiliated, is the Muslim Brotherhood. And Hamas is the Council on American Islamic Relations, according to the Holy Land Foundation trial, doing business in America. So watch what CARE does over the next couple of weeks in instigating these protests around the country. And in fact, what I think is very clear is that the signal is first Israel and then the United States. There is, again, a ton happening right now. Why is this all happening? Well, it's Ramadan, the Islamic holiday. There is a lot more events planned, it looks like, as I'm scanning through here right now. And real-time open source intelligence like this is available to everybody. So in your community, see if there are any of these protests planned. In addition, it looks like the tactics are these rockets being launched, but then also followed up by street violence in Israel. So again, look for this stuff here in the United States to see if they're actually planning it in your community. Also on the international front, a second letter by French soldiers is coming to us from Gateway Pundit. We are talking about the survival of our country. A second group of French soldiers have penned another open letter to the French government published on conservative news magazine Valeurs Actuelles, and I probably horribly butchered that, again, warning of civil war. The letter writers chose to remain anonymous this time. You think, after they got pilloried last time, after the French chief of staff threatened disciplinary action against the signatories of the first letter. The letter has so far been signed, listen to this, has so far been signed by 250,000 supporters. Now, just to put that in military terms, that is 25 divisions, give or take. The authors describe themselves as young soldiers on active duty. What we're seeing now is the military beginning to stand up in Europe, and it started in France, which is absolutely, I mean, that's fantastic that that started in France. But that brings us to America. Now, we in detail talked about how over the last year, and particularly last August, the Transition Integrity Project spelled out that certain generals would leak a memorandum at a time period shortly after the election where they would essentially say they weren't going to support the sitting president. Now, there's a reason that we have a civilian leader of the military in the United States of America. That those military leaders are taking an oath to the Constitution of the United States. But what they did when they said that, because they knew what President Trump had been briefed on, namely that this was not an election, this was an attack on our country. They had been briefed on the countries involved, and they still did that, okay? So they weren't supporting the Constitution. They were actually aiding and abetting the attack on our country, which was called an election. So now today, this coming to us from multiple sources. The New American has this. Washington Examiner has this. Liberty Sentinel has this. More than 120 retired generals and admirals sign a letter questioning the 2020 election and Biden's mental health. Signed by 124 former admirals and generals. Couple quotes that come out of this. Without fair and honest elections that accurately reflect the will of the people, our constitutional republic is lost. The umbrella organization is called Flag Officers for America. Quote, election integrity demands ensuring there is one legal vote cast and counted per citizen. Legal votes are identified by state legislatures, approved controls using government IDs, verified signatures, etc. Today, many are calling such common sense controls racist in attempt to avoid having fair and honest elections, end quote. This is fascinating. They also warn of the harms of socialism, Marxism, and progressivism, and question the pretender's mental health. The mental and physical condition of the commander-in-chief cannot be ignored, quote-unquote. Wow. This comes on the heels of a couple of other things that we're going to get into right now. So 120 retired generals and admirals. And I want to talk about this very quickly. Generals and admirals, and I love them, don't matter as much as the combat ranks. And this colonel and captain, that's who actually runs armies. And so what you saw in France was 250,000 warfighters coming against what's going on. I have talked to people inside the military right now, and they are telling all of them that there is an attempted purge of our military, particularly of the combat ranks, not just officers, but also sergeants. And the non-coms are the backbone of the U.S. military. We talked about this about 5 years ago, that there was this push by Obama. So this is actually about 6 years ago now, I guess, right at the end of his administration, to start purging the military of people who were loyal to the Constitution. And I'm hearing the same comments from people inside the military today. So I hope that there is a group of military folks out there that can do what the French military did. And while anonymous, still have massive support behind them regarding defending our republic and the Constitution and defending Christendom. A very Christian thing to do, actually. Gateway Pundit, moving to the next thing. This is breaking news. Just happened, looks like late yesterday. Maricopa County election officials deleted the entire database from the voting machines, including, quote, all election information, end quote. Whew. They're covering it up. If you didn't have anything to hide, why would you ever do that? Now, this is incredible. This was in direct violation of the subpoena they were served. Why would you do that unless you have something to hide? And speaking of something to hide, this has also happened, and I find it, the timing of some of this stuff is coming out. So Trump has now responded to voting machine manipulation revealed by Maricopa County audit. Wow. They're responding to this, and rightfully so. He calls out how the voting irregularities were found in Maricopa County and how the media is completely ignoring it. In addition to that, this is coming to us from National File. Significant discrepancies were discovered in the Arizona audit. Ballots are off up to 17.5%. Hear what I said. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Most of you probably have never heard this. In politics, we actually had a term. It was called the margin of fraud. And every race that we ran, we tried to beat the margin of fraud, which we calculated between 3 and 5%. Now, on election night in November, Trump had so much support and so much turnout, it broke their fraud algorithms, and they had to essentially do something that raised them above the margin of fraud, which is more concealable. So now they're in the open, and that's why we know about a lot of this stuff now. And this is why this article is so important. Again, significant discrepancies discovered in Arizona audit, ballots off up to 17.5%. Likely Joe Biden did not win. You think the pretender didn't win? Quote, they're hiding the disaster in which they handled this election and likely the fact that Joe Biden did not win in Arizona, end quote. Whoa. That is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. 17.5% discrepancy in one batch is beyond belief. I agree. That's just incredible. Just in one, it would be incredible. But look, I mean, this across the board. So I'm going to be posting some of this stuff so you guys can take a look at it. But Trump responding to this, it's about time. And he's coming out of his downtime where I think they were planning and now is moving into action mode. And I'm excited about this because what's going on right now is even more concerning to most of you. And that is coming to us again from the Gateway Pundit. Inflation surges, consumer prices jump 4.2%, fastest rise since 2008. So it's the fastest inflation increase in decade, you think? Of course. And we have gas lines now that don't look like they're going away anytime soon. Coming to us from Alert USA, pro-Palestinian activist groups have planned protests in multiple cities in the U.S. and Canada May 12th through the 15th. Clash is possible. That means over the weekend. So see what's happening. Again, from Alert USA, Energy Secretary warns of ongoing fuel supply challenges in coming days for Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, West Virginia, and Tennessee due to the pipeline shutdown. So you have a cyber, follow this stuff. It's just not that hard. You have a cyber attack on our fuel supply. You have inflation going through the roof. You've got election fraud being uncovered in Arizona. And you have now the Muslim Brotherhood activated in the United States of America. Follow what's happening. I would not be surprised if there is not another major cyber attack against critical infrastructure that happens here. And it happens all the time, but that happens in such a way where it actually is successful. I would not be surprised, because it's happening almost every day that there are these huge attacks against critical infrastructure in the United States. And they're looking for weak links in smaller communities. There's a couple of emails that are on this subject as well. But the fact of the matter is, it does not look like these pipelines are going to be, and then the follow-on shock from it is going to be over soon. Looks like it's going to extend for a little while. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are stocking up on gas here, but again, no panic. That just adds to stuff. But understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to take down parts of critical infrastructure to cripple the United States economy while they're doing these violent street protests by Antifa, etc. And then now the Muslim Brotherhood is activated in the United States. Follow where we're at. All right. Some good news. Vaccine passports are now banned in Wyoming. It's the 11th state to ban them. Eventually, they're going to ban Liz Cheney, who was kicked out of Republican leadership here the other day. About time that happened. I love this, too. Down in Arizona, as Arizona was kind of pulling some monkey business, Senator Wendy Rogers down there in Arizona, in response to the Justice Department, and the Justice Department was essentially trying to interfere in the Arizona audit. And Wendy Rogers tweeted this. I love this. Justice Department, you need to stay in your lane. Do not touch Arizona ballots or machines unless you want to spend time in an Arizona prison. I think this is going to increase where states are just pushing back against the fraud in Washington, D.C. I think that's what's going to continue happening. Soros now is pushing back against that. And so we're getting this from WorldNet Daily. Soros-funded magazine proposes five new states to, quote, terminate whiteness in Congress, end quote. Claims territories have been prevented from becoming states over race. No, they're actually islands. So it's Puerto Rico, Guam, Northern Mariana Islands, Virginia Islands, and American Samoa. Hey, I tell you what, because D.C. can't be a state, that's unconstitutional. But Puerto Rico can. So why don't we have Puerto Rico come into the union? And Liberty State will come into the union at the same time, preserve the balance of power, and there will be that kind of representation. And it'll be representation for everybody. That's fantastic. What a great idea. Wish we'd have thought of that sooner. That was sarcasm. Okay, so next on the national front, this coming to us from Politico. This is fascinating. Two top Trump administration officials testified Wednesday that President Donald Trump never contacted them on January 6th as rioters overran the Capitol, engaged in brutal combat with police officers. Now, again, this is from Politico, okay? So this is interesting. They tried to say, and Miller particularly, try to say now that they are reassessing and that maybe Trump didn't incite that riot. Yeah, so now you come out and do it. That really shows the level of stuff Trump was going against. I mean, my goodness. All right, we're going to switch next on the national front to what's happening against Christians. Christians journalists and are being targeted by big tech and Canadian officials. Yeah, you think? It's coming to us from The New American. Sheila Gunn Reid, host of The Gunn Show. Great name, by the way. Explains how big tech companies such as YouTube and PayPal are targeting her news organization for destruction. Among other tactics, PayPal suddenly and without warning cut off Rebel News. And so now you're seeing the funding cutoffs of Christians in America. Again, as we've talked about before, this typical communist tactics. Typical. And this same group of people are trying to implement a digital dictatorship. And we're going to get to that here in a second. But first, I want to go to vaccines. LifeSite News. COVID vaccines must be halted immediately, renowned toxicologist tells the CDC. Dr. Jancy Chun-Lindsay has called on the U.S. government to halt COVID-19 vaccine distributions. The vaccines must be halted immediately due to safety concerns on several fronts, quote unquote. I don't know how much more needs to be put out about this, but coming to us from Senator Rand Paul on his Twitter page, Dr. Fauci assembled to try to hide his longtime support for gain-of-function research, which creates superviruses that jump from animals to humans, end quote. These guys were doing it. They knew what they were doing. They were messing around with it. And Americans were supporting the Chinese in doing this. And I still have people out of fear that are saying, oh, I got to get the vaccine. I got to get the vaccine. Don't you think with all that has gone on here, all the lying, all the obfuscation, all the divagling that has gone on throughout this whole process, that it would be enough to pause and say, I don't think I'm going to trust any of you right now. How many more thousands of people have to die? Man. That brings us to the last couple things that have to do with technocracy. The technates are building private cities now outside of U.S. government control. Yes, you heard that right. Emboldened Silicon Valley billionaires are ramping up efforts to build completely autonomous cities in the United States outside of traditional government control and rule of law. Instead, they will build themselves a technate, the city building block of technocracy. Historically, every technate built from the early 1930s onward have been dismal failures. Only vague remnants remain. Today's technocrats have no regard for history, however, believing their new tech can solve all their problems. End quote. Coming to us from Technocracy News. Wow. And that brings us to the trifecta. Well, everybody's heard of DARPA. DARPA is the shadowy organization that does research for the Department of Defense. Now they want HARPA and IARPA because they want to control pretty much everything. This article is very long, but I think it's worth the read. These are the mechanisms through which they want to try to control everything. And that is the briefing. But I do want to mention one thing that is coming up. So we have Worship in the Park coming up at the Clock Tower down at Riverfront Park. And we did it last summer. We are partnering with Rooted to do this Worship in the Park this year. It is going to be May 22nd, 4 o'clock, the Clock Tower, Riverfront Park. Please tell your friends and family, join us down there. It was a fantastic time last time. People were getting baptized and prayed over, and it was a great time of worship. So we're going to be starting with some evangelism training. We're actually going to evangelize some folks, too. So please join us down there at Riverfront Park at the Clock Tower to help us spread the gospel of the kingdom. And again, May 22nd, it's a Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Clock Tower in Riverfront Park. All right. Always, I have to say this. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you for everybody that's been praying for us. And if you get a chance, you can catch Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And we are replayed across the entire ACN network on Tuesday and Thursday at 9 o'clock. It's my honor to introduce today Bill Bullard. He is the CEO of RCAF USA, has been fighting the good fight of freedom for a very long time. Bill, it's really great to have you back on the program today. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you very much.
So I want to talk a little bit today about what is happening behind the scenes, especially to our ranching community, that people need to know about, because there is a direct assault. It's not even an attack. It is an assault, a full-out assault on our ranching communities here in the United States of America. Bring us up to speed.
Well, yes, we've got about 750,000 independent farmers and ranchers who raise cattle in the United States. That makes the cattle industry the single largest segment of American agriculture and critically important to the economic well-being of rural communities all across America. And since 2015, these farmers and ranchers have been experiencing a completely dysfunctional marketplace. In fact, it's been chronically dysfunctional since it first collapsed in 2015 and continued collapsing until the latter part of 2016. Then as prices began to recover and cattle producers thought that they may be able to be reimbursed for their cost of production in the marketplace, we saw that cattle prices beginning in 2017 started to trend downward, and prices were at the same level they were a decade ago. And yet consumer beef retail prices that consumers are paying at the grocery store have been rising to historically high levels. So since 2017, the marketplace has been one in which the beef prices have been working skyward, trending sharply upward, while the cattle prices that the U.S. cattle producers are receiving are trending sharply downward. And then we hit the COVID pandemic in March of 2020, and the first time in history, U.S. consumers went to the grocery store and could not buy the beef they needed for their family. And this was a wake-up call for America that something's wrong with the system, and the system is now marked by a complete disconnection between the value of cattle that cattle producers are receiving and the price of beef that consumers are paying for at the grocery store. And what's happening here is, of course, the middleman is taking away windfall profits, and they're exploiting consumers on one end of the supply chain and the cattle producer on the other. And so the marketplace itself is broken. The distribution channels are incapable of withstanding a shock like the COVID pandemic or like a major weather event or like a animal disease. And so we find ourselves from a national food security interest. We find our nation vulnerable because we have allowed our industry, our largest segment of American agriculture, to essentially be taken over by the multinational meat packers that have skeletonized the entire system, and they've eliminated producers out of the supply chain. So we continue to see an exodus of cattle producers. We see a shrinkage in the marketing outlets available to them to market their cattle, and we see tremendous market power held in the hands of just four packers that now control 85% of the market. And not only do they control 85% of the cattle market, the fed cattle market, but they also control that on the other side of the supply chain, and that is to the consumer. They control the boxed beef that's going to the major grocery stores. And so the system is just fundamentally broken. We have to fix it. We've gone to Washington and said you need to do two things immediately. One, you need to restore competition in the cash cattle market itself. And a bill has actually been introduced to do that. It's called the Grassley and Tester Senate Bill 949. requiring the packers to purchase at least half of their cattle from the competitive marketplace. But the second thing we need is we need to be able to create demand for the beef that is actually grown by U.S. farmers and ranchers. And the only way to do that is for Congress to pass a country of origin labeling bill requiring all beef in America to be labeled as to where it was born, raised, and slaughtered, so consumers can decide whether they want to support the American supply chain or some foreign supply chain. So in a nutshell, that's what our industry looks like right now and what is needed.
So right now, what is the mechanism that the pretender in the White House is using to really come against the industry, and what is on the horizon right now? Are they? I know there was a bill in Oregon to ban cattle ranching in the entire state, as if anybody could really do that. But is this going to continue? I mean, is this hit going to continue? There's this push to lower beef consumption by 90% and grow it in petri dishes, which is disgusting. But I mean, these things are out there. They're talking about these very openly right now, where they were trying to hide them here a few years ago.
Well, that's right. And that bill you talked about in Oregon first started in Colorado. And it was a bill to essentially make it unlawful for ranchers to ranch. And Oregon apparently has now taken that up. And, you know, when you weaken an industry like the cattle industry is presently weakened, you weaken their ability to withstand these kinds of radical movements against the industry. And so at the same time where these producers are trying to create demand for their cattle, the very meat packers they're selling their cattle to are investing in this fake meat that's going to compete directly against them. And then, of course, we've got all these undifferentiated imports that are being used as direct substitutes for beef and pushing the price down. So there certainly is a radical element out there trying to eliminate the largest segment of American agriculture, trying to weaken the economy of virtually all of rural America. And you've got an industry who's the target that doesn't have the financial resources to effectively fight it, because their industry has been so weakened by the nation's ignorance of our antitrust laws, an absolute refusal to enforce antitrust laws to ensure that the marketplace is competitive.
So right now, the biggest issue that I have seen is this importing of foreign beef, which does not have to go through the same standards, and clearly it's not the same quality. You brought up country of origin labeling. This seems like a no-brainer. The Republicans were in control, and yet this doesn't happen. Can you explain to me where this is at in the legislative process? Can states do anything about this?
Well, some states have tried. And so what this demonstrates to us is, as you said, it is so common sense that we would have a label on beef so consumers could tell if it came from Costa Rica or Nicaragua or Honduras or Uruguay or Canada or Mexico or Australia or New Zealand or any one of the 20 countries that we import beef from. That label should be a right for consumers to know where that product was produced. But under current law, and as demonstrated by the tremendous political and economic power that the beef packers have, Congress has been afraid to act. They've been afraid to require that country of origin labels be placed on beef. And in fact, right now, it is legal to import a beef product from Uruguay. So the animal spent its entire life in Uruguay under production standards we're not even aware of. The meat is then brought into the United States in a package, and a U.S. meat packer can pick up that meat, take it out of the Uruguayan package, throw the Uruguay label away, and reaffix a product of USA label on that exclusively foreign product and sell it to unsuspecting consumers as if it were produced right here in America under these most stringent health and safety standards in the world. And that's going on right now. And so it's to the point of being unbelievable that Congress won't act, but Congress is shaking in their boots because they're afraid that the international tribunal known as the World Trade Organization will rule against the state or the nation's ability. So we've had states like Colorado and South Dakota and even Montana and Oklahoma have all tried to run bills in their state legislatures to require the beef sold in their respective states to be labeled as to where it was born, raised, and slaughtered. But the meatpackers have regrouped, and they fought against each of these measures in each of these state legislatures, and they defeated the process. So we've been completely unsuccessful for either our local governments or our national government to do what absolutely needs to be done, and that is to ensure that labels on beef are truthful and that consumers are able to choose from what country they want their beef produced.
Which just... That seems like it would make sense. I thought, you know, we believed in choice and stuff. But anyway, I have seen this agenda to, you know, say that cows are the greatest problem for the environment and all kinds of stuff out there. And I know you've heard some things, too. So I would like you to go into that right now. What is the pretender bringing forward on that front, that cows are somehow destructive to the environment and that we need to... We need to save the environment by apparently killing cows and not letting ranchers ranch.
That's right. So the this radical group of environmental interests, I think in this case, have come to Washington and said that cows are a major problem. They're producing methane and weakening the world, the globe. And so we have to get rid of cows. It was just a tactic to eliminate the cattle farming and ranching in the United States, and it's scientifically bogus. It defies common sense to believe that a natural animal, a God-produced animal, is out there destroying our planet by doing what we can't do. These animals can convert grass that is not consumable by humans, that we have vast areas of grass, and if it isn't consumed, then we have vast areas of fire fuel for prairie fires and forest fires. But yet we have cattle with their unique rumen system, the segmented stomach, is able to convert that grass, that non-consumable grass, into the highest quality protein the world has ever known, and that is beef that U.S. consumers are able to purchase. And so we just have to be ever vigilant that they're coming at us from all sides. And this was a big one. It arose about 10 years ago, and the industry started to scramble to figure out how to disprove this this crazy idea that cattle were ruining the environment. And it's absolutely the opposite. The animals are making this conversion. They're reducing the fuel for potential fires. They're producing fertilizer that helps the grass grow. I mean, it is an ecosystem in itself, much like other ruminant animals like the bison and buffalo that used to range the United States by the tens of millions. And that's about what we have for cattle. We have, in fact, about 94 million cattle. And so it certainly wasn't a problem when the buffalo roamed. So why does it all of a sudden become a problem now? This is just right. One of those kind of beyond reasonableness, the kind of issues that sometimes we have to deal with.
Well, it is exactly. And so I want to get into the Petri dish stuff briefly. So, so I have heard about this. It's actually it's gross. It's just disgusting what they're proposing, but people like Dr. Evil Klaus Schwab are saying, well, this is the direction we want to go. We want people to be eating ground up bugs and stuff, not real meat. Can you tell a little bit about the process of some of this stuff that's out there? I don't want to gross the listeners out, but they got to know about this. This is crazy talk.
Right. Well, I know just enough about it not to eat it. Because I know that it's not a natural product. It's as you said, it's produced in a laboratory, and it's produced using artificial ingredients in order to make it look and smell and taste close to what beef is. But why would a consumer ever want to go to the grocery store and buy something that's almost like beef when they have available to them the best protein source of the world that has fed generations upon generations and made them strong? And as we've had, you know, our longevity factor has increased. So what we've been doing is good, and what they are attempting to do now is to undo that good and create tremendous profits for some corporations that also spend millions, if not billions of dollars through advertisements and promotions trying to convince consumers that this is good for them. And I think that they couldn't be further from the truth.
I would completely agree with that. So how do we fight this? You know, this what it is really a war against property rights, I guess, ultimately at the core, because that's what it says in Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, that their goal is to abolish private property. So ultimately, that's what this is at the core. But this affects millions of people, what they're trying to do here. How do we fight back against this as they try to reduce our ability to farm, as they try to reduce our ability to ranch? So they really are reducing our ability to create wealth to fight back against them in the first place.
You're absolutely right. And this has been going on for decades. And what we have learned over the past 20-some years is the cattle farmers and ranchers who are on the front lines and who are subject to losing their private property are not able to turn this around alone. We need the consumers to step up and say, you know, our farmers and ranchers are important. We rely upon them for a safe, abundant, affordable supply of food. Now, I say affordable when I just described how consumers are paying well over what they should be paying for beef because of the depressed cattle prices. But nevertheless, over time, that is what the U.S. cattle farmer and rancher has done for America. Now America needs to step up and help them. And one way to help them is they've got to begin calling their members of Congress, both their representative and their two senators, and impress upon them that they expect Congress to take steps to preserve the American family farm and ranch system of agriculture. And the way to do that is to restore the broken marketplace and provide country of origin labeling so consumers can choose to support America's cattle farmers and ranchers. We really do need the consumers' help on this because we've proven we can't do it alone.
I agree. We can't. And right now, I think it's time for all Americans to stand up, because if we don't stand up now, we may not have the opportunity to stand up later. We have a lot of people who think that beef comes from the freezer at Safeway, and there isn't anything beyond that. I want to talk briefly about supply chains right now. There has been a shortage of butchers for private butchering of meat that we have seen, and there's also been some disruptions in the supply chain. Do you see disruptions in the supply chain in the future regarding beef, or do you think that just cattle ranchers are going to start selling exclusively local instead of trying to maybe export it out of state?
Well, there's a lot of ranchers that are trying to do that, but it's on a very small scale. It's not going to make the heart of our industry viable economically. And so we've got to fix the supply chain that has now been proven to be broken, particularly in March of 2020 when the grocery store shelves were empty. That wasn't because we weren't producing enough cattle to produce beef. It's because the supply chain broke. And the supply chain broke because we didn't enforce our antitrust laws back beginning in the 80s. They called the decade of the 80s merger mania, because that's when the multinational meat packers came into the industry and started buying up and merging with all of the other packers. And that's when they gained their tremendous level of control over the entire marketplace. So you have four packers controlling 85% of the market. They have somewhere around 25 to 30 individual packing plants, most of them located down in the High Plains region of the United States. And when you have that kind of of centralized control over the processing end of this industry, it's inherently vulnerable to problems. And that's what we saw in March. And so what they did was, through the merger mania activity they were engaged in, they skeletonized the entire beef supply chain. They brought it down to the bare skeletal bones, and that system lacks redundancy, it lacks resiliency, and it lacks the ability to withstand even minor shocks. We've seen several shocks already. It was in August of 2019 when a single plant of one of these big four meat packers, it was Tyson, the plant shut down temporarily in Holcomb, Kansas. It caused huge market disruptions. Wholesale beef prices rose to then historic levels, and cattle prices crashed. And it was because one single plant went offline for a temporary period. And so that demonstrates that we have for far too long relied upon the profit-motivated multinational corporations, and in many cases global corporations, to essentially tell the American consumer how their food is going to be produced and where they're going to get it and who's going to provide it to them. That's the antithesis of a free market. It's the antithesis of competition, and we have simply gone the wrong way for far too long. We've got to put the brakes on, and then we've got to reverse it. And again, we're going to need the consumer's help to get it done.
We are going to need the consumer's help, and I don't think people understand how powerful they actually are if we unite to do things. It seems maybe far off for some folks, but if we unite together, we can change things almost overnight. And I think that this is the time where we have to do it. This is kind of the do or die time, as it were. We have to do something right now. If you were going to say an encouraging word to folks out there listening to the show today, what would it be?
Well, they have the power to change this. They have the power through their purchasing decisions, by choosing to purchase to buy American products, for example. And they have the power to move their members of Congress. Their members of Congress really receive relatively few phone calls from their constituents. So if every listener on this call were to pick up their phone and call their two senators and representative, you would see a response very, very quickly, because that's not the norm. That usually doesn't happen. And that then allows your members of Congress to go, you know, prancing off and working on other matters other than what's really important to Americans. And what could be more important than the food supply? So I would urge every listener, when this is over tomorrow morning, pick up the phone and call your senators and congressmen and tell them you want to know where your food comes from, you want mandatory country of origin labeling, and you want competition restored in the U.S. cattle marketplace.
Where can people go to find out more information or maybe even get involved?
They can go to our website at r-calfusa.com, and they can go to our RCAF USA Facebook page.
Outstanding. And last but not least, what do you think about what happened with the election and who's sitting in Washington, D.C.?
You know, as a national nonprofit organization, we're nonpartisan, and we work with every administration for the past 20 years, and we've been sorely disappointed with their inattention to the cattle industry. So it's been frustrating for us. We're trying to work with this administration, but they've not done anything yet. We remain optimistic, but we've been optimistic for 20 years without any real positive results.
Well, I, as a red-blooded, beef-eating American, I thank you so much for your efforts over the years to preserve the industry and to preserve the hamburgers that we eat specifically on the weekends, but more importantly, the steaks every once in a while we get to eat. I want to thank you for that, Bill. Thank you for all you're doing, and blessings to you and blessings to the organization. We'd love to have you back on again here at the end of the summer to kind of get a wrap of what's going on in the industry.
Sounds great. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Blessings and keep up the fight. All right, Bill Bullard, he is the CEO of RCAF USA. Again, check them out on the web. This fight against cattle ranchers has been crazy. You heard what happened in Oregon where they introduced a piece of legislation to ban cattle ranching. And I didn't even know it started in Colorado. Private property rights are unalienable, unalienable. You cannot give them away. You can only through death lose them or acquiescence lose them. But they can't be, you can't just like, oops, well, I just accidentally gave that away. You have to consciously do it. You have to consciously allow these people to continue as they are. And right now, what we're seeing in America is a full-on war against everything that is good. Cattle ranching is good. Logging is good. Mining is good. Now, all of these things have to be done in the sense of Christian stewardship. We're supposed to take care of what God has given us to steward. And so anybody that goes out there and says, oh, they want to wreck everything. No, that's not what we really believe. We believe we're supposed to be good stewards of what God has given us. And virtually every cattle rancher I have ever met has wanted to be a good steward of what was given to them. Usually three generations or more back. But what the left wants, what the progressives wants, what their vision is for the future is people living in these tiny things called apartments and eating ground bugs and petri dish beef. Not owning anything, but apparently being happy because we're stuck in our virtual reality pods all day long. I'm sorry, but that sounds like the creepy slavery of the Matrix. Why would we ever want that? No true American would ever want that for their family, ever. We want freedom. We want liberty. We want to raise our cows and eat our beef, eat our chickens, eat our eggs, hold our Bibles, hold our guns, preach the gospel of the kingdom, watch people's lives transformed by Jesus Christ. We want to watch prosperity come into the darkest places of the world. We want to watch God's kingdom expand. That's what it means to be a Christian and a patriot and an American. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you. May you make this generation the greatest one and keep up the fight.